Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Oh, wow. How do you top that? Okay, thanks, Colin. Me and Colin have a unique relationship. We banter a lot, mainly for your entertainment. But you know what we do? We do encourage one another. And brother, that was incredible. That was amazing. Keep stepping out in faith, man. We want more of that. Amen. Amen. Wow, good morning. It is great to be with you today. Oh, I have been dreading this at the same time, looking forward to it, because I feel that God is going to do something this morning. And the Bible verse that we're going to be looking at today is Matthew 6:33. I can't believe you're reaching for your Bibles. You should know that off the heart. That is, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things... Amen, amen. So this message today has been put on my heart recently, and going back to when we first came back to meeting in person, the leaders gave prophetic words of what we feel that God is saying to us as a church right now. And I truly believe that we are in a season where God is restoring and multiplying in our lives, in every area of our lives. And God is moving amongst us and moving in our lives where right now, it don't matter what position you find yourself in or what place you find yourself in, that position is only temporary. God is going to do so much more. God has so much more for us that we are only in a temporary position right now. And I've been speaking with Clive to share this message, not because it's what I feel that God is saying to us as a church right now, not because it's just what the Bible says, but because I have actually lived my life by this message since I became a Christian. And I've lived by this word, and I know it works. So this is not just to preach to encourage you this morning, to lift you up. This is not just to preach to that you come on a Sunday morning and go, oh, I'm so glad I went to church today. That message was great. You know, this is a message that is going to be practically rewarding and practically applicable, because for me to preach this message today, I had to live it first. But let me tell you this, I'm not perfect, all right? I still make mistakes, I'm still learning, I'm still growing in the Lord. But you know what? The greatest sermon or the greatest message that you will ever hear is a sermon or message that is lived rather than spoken. And do you know that you can actually preach a better message to those who are non-believers with your life rather than with your words? And I feel like we're in a season where we're going to see God moving and doing extraordinary things. He's going to be changing lives. He's going to be bringing down strongholds, bringing breakthrough in our lives, restoring. And we're going to see this happen. But the truth is, if you want to see it happen, then you need to be living in it. You need to be a part of it. And then you will receive the blessings from it. Are you seeking God first in your life? Are we putting God in the center of our lives today? Today's message is a massive message of what is your priority in life. And the question is, where is God in your life? If you really ask yourself that, where is God in your life? Is he on the shelf? Is he like a sort of trophy that you go, yep, I'm a Christian, I go to church, look, that is my God. And that's sort of all where it goes to. Or do you sort of put him in a box and hide him under the bed? Like, yeah, I believe in God. I've had an encounter with Jesus. I'm a Christian. Yeah, but God, I can't let anyone know about you yet, because I've still got to live my life. There's things I've got to do first before I take you seriously. Or is God in the medical kit, in the first aid box, that you only sort of go to him when you're hurt, when you're lonely, when you're sick, when you need him? The question is, church, where is God in your life? Is he the priority in your life? Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give everything you need. Now, I'm not going to lie, you're going to hear that verse so many times this morning in this message, but the reason why is I'm applying scripture to the different areas of our lives. So we're going to quickly unpack that verse. The first line says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. What are we seeking? We're seeking the kingdom. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is God's government, it's God's rulership, it's his dominion over earth, it's his will, it's his heavenly influence on earth, and it's his administration. So priority number one in our life should be seeking the kingdom of God first. And it's everything in that list that I've just read out. And when we're going to seek that list, we're seeking God's rule and reign. That's what you're seeking, to live under God's government. So the first commandment of Jesus was to get under God's government, not a religion. Isaiah 9 says, his government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. Now the second part is just as equal as the first. It says, live righteously. And this is the second priority in our lives. Our righteousness as believers comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross, he traded his righteousness for our sins. And he left us without the penalty of our sins so that we can have relationships with God. It is a gift from God and a way of life. Now, righteousness is the requirements of God. It's the duties of faith that we see in Matthew 6 from verse 1 to 15. There's 3 points. The first one is giving to the needy, man's duty to his neighbor. It's our duty as Christians to look out for those who are needy, look out for the poor, look out for those who are in trouble, like we do with Cap, like we've heard with Debbie today. The second one, and the third, are very important. The second one is prayer. It's our duty to God in from verse 5 to 15. And that's why next week we're having, the week after, we're having prayer and fasting. And that's the third point, fasting. It's our duty of self-control. And that's why as a church, next week, in a couple of weeks' time, we're having a prayer and fasting week. That is for you to experience God, get right with God. But it's our duties of faith, of righteousness. Now, righteousness cannot be earned. It is a gift from God through the sacrifice of Christ. In addition to that, righteousness is one of the pieces of body armor that we find in Ephesians chapter 6, the breastplate of righteousness. Now, that is to protect our hearts from feeling that we must earn our way into heaven. Overall, it means to conform to God's laws. Before Almighty God, we are righteous through Jesus Christ and no longer under condemnation, but we are still called to live out his righteousness in our lives. And then it finishes by saying that he will give you everything you need. Not he will give you everything you want, but he will give you everything you need. Without stress, without worry, without begging or pleading, he will give you everything you need. And the funny part is, when God actually gives it to you, sometimes we didn't realize that we needed it. I've had times when I've just prayed and suddenly a blessing comes from God and it's like, what's that? You know, and suddenly, fair enough, I actually did need that. And that's how God works. He don't give you what you want, he gives you what you need. And the Father loves you so much, he knows what you need before you even ask for it. And we're going to look at 3 keys today for us to really put God first in our life. And those 3 keys are the keys to a fulfilled life, the keys to a balanced life, and the key to your career goals. Now, are you living a fulfilled life? The kind of life that you were designed to live by God? No? What's missing? Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Now, what does it mean to put God first in your life? What does it actually mean for us to put God first in everything in our lives? Thessalonians 2:12 says, you should live in a way that proves you belong to God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Now, the kingdom of God is a present reality. It's what we're to be doing on earth right now. The power of God is the present resource. It's the energy that God gives us so that we can do all that he wants us to do once we have surrendered and submitted to his will. Romans 11 says, everything comes from him and exists by his power and intended for his glory. Now, I talk to people all the time. I talk to friends and they say, Sam, I have so much, yet I feel unfulfilled. I've got a loving wife. I've got lovely family. My kids are beautiful. I've got a great job. I'm part of a great community. I've got great friends, but yet I'm still unfulfilled. And it's because you were made for more than this. You were made for more than just survival. You will never find fulfillment in life until you begin to live in God's kingdom by God's power and for God's glory. So how do you live a life fulfilled? How do you live that fulfilled life, the kind of life that you were designed to by God? The Bible says, I read it earlier, Thessalonians 2, you should live a life that proves you belong to God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. What does it mean to live in God's kingdom? It means to make God's agenda your agenda. Make God's will your will. You care about what God cares about. Whatever you want God to bless in life, you put him in first in that area. If you want God to bless your education, you put him in your school, you put him in your college, you put him in your university, you put him in your studies. If you want God to bless your career, you take him to work with you. If you want God to bless your relationships, he is the center so that that will grow and blossom. If you want God to bless your children, put him in your children's life. What does it mean to put God first in your life? Is there any specific changes that you would need to make to place God first in your life? I have a little acrostic for you. It's called FIRST, F-I-R-S-T. And this is hopefully to give you help to put God first. The first letter, F, is finances. If you want God to bless your finances, even during difficult seasons, you must tithe. I'm sorry, but there is no other way. I remember when I first started tithing, my money's my money. I worked for that. I went to work, done 45 hours in a week. You know, I've earned that money. That is my money. Why should I give it to God? And then I'm starting to hear testimonies of people being blessed because they're tithing. And I thought, all right, you know what, God, I feel nudged by you right now to do it. So let's have a go. So, God, I earn so much. I'm not going to give you 10%. Here's a fiver, you know. Yeah, what are you going to do with that? But freely, I gave God a fiver. I started giving a fiver to God during the week. And before the tithe even left my bank, I set it up on standing order. It was a couple of weeks before the end of the month when it comes out. Before the money even left my account, God, I went to work that next week and I got a pay rise. God was already working in my sacrifice, in tithing. And since then, I've been tithing more and more and more. And you all know my work story. God has just been continued to pour it out. And you know what? I never go a month without money where I can't buy food, I can't clothe myself, and I can't pay for my bills. God always makes sure that I'm all right. Letter I, your interest. Put him first in your hobbies, in your career, and your activities. In other words, give God first consideration in every decision you make. God, I want to join a gym. What's the best gym for me to join to? God, I want to change my life. What's the best diet or sort of thing to follow? God, I want to get back into sports. What am I going to enjoy? God, I want to support a team. I should have asked this really. God, God, I want to. God, I want to support a team. What team should I support? I support my local team, mate. My local team. Okay, moving on. Letter R, your relationships. Put him first in your family, in your marriage, and your friendships. If you want God to bless your relationship, if you want God to bless your marriage, and you want God to bless your family, put him at the top, yeah? As man, we sit at the head of the table. No, God, you sit at the head of the table. Put him in your schedule. Now, this is something I've struggled with, but I've not long recently decided to actually get God in my schedule. Put him first every day. Get up and start praying. Read a bit of the Bible before you go to work. Give God that little time of day and just say to him, if I don't get anything done today, I just want to know you a little better and love you a little more. Amen? Amen. Amen. And the last letter, T, troubles. You need to turn to God first when you have a problem. It's easy for us to go get frustrated, get angry when something happens, or it's like, no, I'm going to do it my way. I know what I've got to do. I'm going to fix this. Prayer should never be our last resort. It should be our first choice. Whenever you have troubles, it should be going to God straight away. And I hope that helps you to keep God first. Second key, the key to a balanced life. What are the biggest distractions that you are having in your life for your life not to become balanced? Matthew 6:33, seek first God's kingdom and what God wants, then all your other needs will be met as well. If you want to live a truly balanced life, then we can only look at one person in the entire timeline of history, and his name is Jesus Christ. If you put him at the center of your life will be more balanced. Now, let's just picture a wheel real quick. It can be a bike wheel, it can be a car wheel. I don't know what kind of wheel you're into, but picture a wheel real quick. If you looked at your life as a wheel, what would be that center hub? The center of the wheel is a hub, and all the spokes of your life, which represent your relationships, your family, your career, etc., all come from that hub. And we all build our lives around some sort of hub. We build our lives around money. We build our lives around our family, our career. Is Jesus your hub? How do you know what you're building your life around? Well, if you have a look at your life, and whatever you think about the most, or whatever you live for the most, that's what's driving you. I remember when money was my driver. I always needed money so that I can go on holiday. I can always go out partying on the weekend. So I'd work extremely hard. I'd do overtime just so I can get that money and do whatever it is I wanted to do. And I was never happy. It was never satisfying. Yeah, I enjoyed it a little bit, I'm not going to lie, but it was never satisfying. The center of our life is critical to developing a balanced life, and a solid center leads to a solid life. A weak, flimsy center leads to a weak life. And I hear people tell me that their lives are going out of control. Well, it usually means one thing. You have a faulty center. Something other than God is taking center of your lives. Now, not only does a hub create stability, but it also controls and influences everything else about your life. And whatever you put at the center of your life will also be that source of power. The power of a wheel always emanates from the center outwards, never the other way around. So what do you think is the biggest obstacle to putting Jesus center in your life? I remember when I was growing up and sort of just become a Christian. It was early doors. I was still going out doing my thing. I was working, I was partying, I was doing all sorts. And it was hard. It was there was no balance, there was no stability. I always wanted to try and please my family. I had to live in a certain way to please them. I was coming to church and obviously trying to show him a life that, oh yeah, it's pleasing to you and God. And I wanted to live a life that, oh, I just wanted to have money and do this and do that. There was just so much chaos. It was just so much all over the place. And then suddenly, one day I just said, God, I've had enough. I'm going to make you the center. And then when I did, stability, balance, and power came with it. And guys, if you make Jesus the center of your life, he will provide you with that stability, with that control, and that same power. The Bible says, seek first God's kingdom and what God wants, then all your other needs will be met as well. Truthfully, don't worry too much about making Jesus first in your life. Instead, put him in the center of your life. Work around Jesus. Let him direct your life, influence it. Let him empower it and give it stability. Do that and all your other areas of your life will have stability, from your family to your career goals. It will all find balance in Jesus. Amen? Amen? And the last key, how do you want God to bless you in your career? In fact, here's another question. Have you given Jesus control of your career? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. If you want your life to turn from emptiness to overflowing, then give Jesus complete control of your life, including your career. Luke 5 says, Jesus gets into the boats and the one that belonged to Simon and asked him to push off a little from the land. Then Jesus sat down and continued to teach the people from the boat. Now, we all know that story. The disciples worked all night, didn't catch anything. They were out till dawn, from dawn till dusk, and not one fish did they catch. And then suddenly Jesus comes, steps in their boat, tells them to cast out again. And when they did, they caught so many fish that the nets were beginning to break. When you look at that story, it was the same lake. It was the same boat. It was the same net. And it was the same fish. The only difference was, and in fact, the only difference between nothing and fullness was Jesus in the boat. What would it look like if you gave control of your job to Jesus? Well, here's the starting point. You've got to get him in your boat. What is your boat? It's how you make a living. Simon's business was his boat because he was a fisherman. The boat can represent your career. It can represent your profession, your job, your business, just like it represented Simon Peter's entire livelihood. So what does it mean to have Jesus in your boat? It means dedicate your career to God. And we're not talking about salvation here. You may have Jesus in your life, but have you given him control of your career? You've trusted him for salvation, and you go to church every week, you go to midweek group and praise God every week, and then when you go to work, he's back on the shelf, he's back in the box, he's back in the first aid box. Is Jesus there, and is he trusted in your job? When Simon Peter gave his job to Jesus, he was blessed with incredible results. But don't miss the sequence. We sometimes think, God, make me really rich, make me really successful, and then I'll give up what I'm doing and I'll come and follow you. Do you think if Clive did that years ago, he'd be sitting here now? You know, when Clive started his business, his first business was God. And all tight fencing was blessed and blessed from that. And we're even more blessed now because Glenn's at the helm. Eh? You can pay me for that one later, Glenn. Yeah. But no, you don't give it to him that way. You do it the other way around. You put God first and then he blesses your career. Just the way he did Simon Peter's job. Now, even in my one, you know my story. I've told you so many times. And you know, I was going to leave my work because suddenly they wanted me to work Sundays. Sundays is important to us as Christians. We need to be here together as a family. We need to be Christian. If you know the Bible verse, iron sharp as iron, you know, that's what it's meant to be like on a Sunday. We're all meant to come together and be together. And suddenly when work said, no, you've got to work Sundays, it was like, I ain't having it. Every job interview I've ever had, the first thing they say, oh, is there anything you want to say, ask or do? Yeah, the first thing is, I'm not working Sundays. You know, my Sundays, I already do work. In fact, I don't just work, I live on a Sunday. Yeah, that's God's day. And suddenly my workplace wanted me to work on a Sunday. I weren't having none of it. God, you're first. I'm leaving. I didn't really want to leave. God knows my heart. I didn't want to leave. But God, I'm done. I'm leaving. I'm gone. I'm not working a Sunday. Got a new job, a bit further away, more money, but never a Sunday. Amen. But then God stepped in. He saw my heart. God stepped in and he went, no. You still have a purpose at this workplace. There's still something to do. And lo and behold, my management come down and says, we don't want you to leave. You're not leaving. You're exempt from working Sundays. Oh, and here's more money. Thank you, Lord. But that's not the end of it. God is still pouring out now. I've been praying, God, I don't just want to be stuck in a shop. I want to be able to influence the business. I want to be a blessing to the business, something that really like drives the business. Okay, Sam, this is what we're going to do. We had a meeting this week with my new area manager of the company, and he said, yeah, I've got a plan for you. Any new store that we get, any new staff that we get, you're the one that's going to get the standards up for them. You're the one that's going to train them up, and you're going to help us expand this business. Thank you, Lord. There is more to come. So, guys, put God in your career. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Whatever you want God to bless, put him first. If you want God to bless your time, give him the first part of your day. If you want God to bless your money, give him the first 10% of your income, no matter how small it is. You want God to bless your job, give him control, no matter how successful you are. It don't matter if you're the cleaner or the owner of the company. Jesus in the center of your career. Amen? Amen. Amen. Can we just stand and just, I just want to allow this word to minister, and let's just receive. Let's just close our eyes, open our hearts. Because in the beginning I said to you, for me to preach this message, I had to live it first. And the greatest sermon or message that you will ever hear is a sermon not preached but lived. You have the power to preach a better sermon with your life than you do with your lips. I put Jesus first before everything. People say to me, Sam, why don't you have a day off? Sam, stop telling me about what God's done in your life. Stop telling me about Jesus. Sam, why don't you come with us on a Sunday? Have a day off from church. You go 365 days a year. Come to us. No. I'm going to put Jesus first. I'm going to put God first. I want God in my life. God is the one that's going to drive me. God is the one that's going to give me all that I need. And you know what now the conversation is? Sam, I want to give my life to Jesus. Not because of what he's done in my life, but because of what I've seen him do in yours. As Christians, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And we put God first in our lives by saying yes to God and no to others. And people can't tell us who we should or should be because God is the one who has made us for his purpose. Putting God first is more about the responses to life struggles. When we go through them, do we go to him first? Is he priority in our lives? Acts of discipline like going to church and going to midweek group, yeah, that's important. But that's only part of putting God first. We also must set our minds on him and allow him to change our hearts so that we can live in that place that pleases him. And we're going to have an opportunity. I'd like to have all eyes closed, every head bowed. I just want you to be honest with God right now. Be honest with God. And be honest with yourselves. Put your hand up if Jesus is truly the center of every area in your life. Well, today, there's an opportunity to turn that around. God is calling us as a church to really put God in the center of every area of our life because he wants to bless you and he wants to really fulfill your life with everything that he has for it. But the question is, church, is Jesus at the center of your life? Are there any fears or concerns of following Jesus? Maybe you don't want to be judged by others for being, you know, a so-called Bible basher. No, maybe you don't want to be judged by others for going to church. Don't matter. Put God first in your life and your life is going to be transformed. Your life is going to bring breakthrough and blessings. It will bring stability and it will bring balance. So if you want that today, come down the front for prayer. We're going to be praying for you. If you want to realign yourself with God, come down. And we're just going to worship God. But let me just pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Bible, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for that verse. And Lord, we thank you for the promise, Lord, that when we do put you first, you give us all that we need. Father, we come to you today, Lord, and we just ask for you to be the center of our lives. Come into everything. Come into my family. Come into my career. Come into my children. Come into my mental health. Jesus, we place you in the center today. And Lord, help us to live a life that is fulfilling, that is full of blessings, with you at the center. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship God.